Blog Talk Radio.
Today on Sports Kingdom, we are going to discuss the NBA playoffs, NHL postseason, the Preakness, Andrew Wiggins to Kansas, David Beckham's farewell, and a report on the Sacramento Kings and the Charlotte Bobcats. Sports Kingdom starts right now, so put in hashtag Sports Kingdom Live on Twitter. Here we go. Welcome to Sports Kingdom. I'm your host, Julian Bravo, the King, and I'm here with our co-hosts, as usual, Sean, the Doctor, Elmer. Sean, how's it going today?
Good. Glad to be back on the show, Julian.
Yep, and don't forget, but this is the Weekend Review. The Week in Review is going off on a bang today, so before we get started, I want to first pay out tribute to former golfer and former CBS broadcaster Ken Vercuri, who won 14 PGA Tour events. So let's pay a quick tribute to Ken Vercuri at this time. Yeah, Ken Vercuri, legendary golfer, like I said, won 14 PGA Tour events and was absolutely incredible in the booth for so many years as Jim Nantz, current CBS broadcaster, took the time as well and paid tribute to his good old friend, Ken Vecchiri. He was also named Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. So once again, at age 30 or 82, Ken Vecchiri now passed. And so rest in peace, Ken. All right. So as we begin the show today, the number to the show is 646-716-5733. Once again, 646-716-5733. The chat room is open, so chat up while it's open. The email to the show is skbtradio@gmail.com. And without further ado, we will begin today's show right off the bat with the NBA playoffs. Let's first talk about the recent game that happened last night between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. A crucial defeat that the Knicks had to take in as they lost and were eliminated from the NBA playoffs. And afterwards, here were some of the Knicks members' thoughts on last night's game.
Within that fourth quarter, we missed some shots. And they start the quarter off with three layups, and that was the key run for them guys to start the quarter off with three layups.
They were great here at home. I mean, when you start playing playoff basketball and you put yourself in position to host at home, you got to handle your business at home. That one game that we lost at the beginning of this series, I think, put us behind the eight ball in terms of where we are.
Yeah, that was Mike Woodson just now. Like he said, but the Knicks failed to bring it back home for game six of the playoff series between the Indiana Pacers. Of course, the New York Knicks would have more of an advantage at home against the Indiana Pacers. But last night, the Indiana Pacers just totally dominated. Roy Hibbert, he's been playing outstanding throughout the whole entire playoff series, and he went along with some great highlights last night. For example, he blocked Carmelo Anthony at a significant time during the game, and afterwards Frank Vogel went on to say that Roy Hibbert is no doubt the best rim protector in the game today. I could totally agree with that. Roy Hibbert, he has elevated his game. I think the whole rest of the Indiana Pacers have elevated their games. They've totally improved from last year. Now they are going to take on the Miami Heat. I want to first go to you, Sean, but after overcoming the New York Knicks, what do you think is next in Indiana's path? They're going to play the Miami Heat. So what do you think is going to it's going to happen in their path towards the NBA Finals?
Well, I'll start off by saying this. That was a great win. And after over the Knicks last night, Julian, as you were mentioning, the Pacers, after that block you were referring to, that block shot by Roy Hibbert on Carmelo Anthony, which I got to say was an outstanding block, a clean block, no foul, all ball, great defensive play at a critical moment of the game. And after that block shot, the Pacers outscored the Knicks 16-7 the rest of the way. So again, critical moment and big defensive play there. So kudos to Frank Vogel and the Pacers. But as for what's next, to get to your question, I got to say, I just think that it's a David versus Goliath scenario. I mean, yes, the Pacers did go 2-1 in the regular season
against Miami, with both of those wins coming on home court, the Pacers' home court, in their wins over the Heat. But this is the postseason, and LeBron James and the Heat, they're not, even though Dwayne Wade's a little banged up, but he's still playing. He's like a hockey player, as they say. He's as tough as they come, Dwayne Wade. So that knee isn't going to bother him too much, I don't think. It may hinder him a little bit, but like I said, he's going to be, Dwayne Wade's going to do what he's going to do, going to do his thing. And LeBron James is a man on a mission, and the Heat as a team or a team on a mission at 8-1 this postseason. So, and I just, when, if you would ask me to give an early take on that series, which starts Wednesday in Miami, I got to say that I agree with what Stephen A. Smith said this morning on one of the early editions of SportsCenter. I don't see the Pacers having enough to take down the Heat. Even though they were 2-1, they won the season series and the regular season, like I said, but Miami is about as good as they get right now. LeBron James is like the best player in maybe the world right now. So he's on top of his game. So I just, as of right now, I see the Heat winning that series over the Pacers. I'll say, as an early prediction, I'll say Heat in six. I'll go along with Stephen A. Smith.
No doubt you have to take the Indiana Pacers into consideration. This team flat out beat the Knicks and flat out did well during the regular season against the Miami Heat. Those factors are going to come into play the next time out they play the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, they're going to have to be ready. They're going to have to be really ready for this challenge. Indiana is a powerhouse. They are a powerhouse. They have a lot of talent on that team. I mean, they could work all ways around with that team, with guys in the likes of Lance Stephenson, George Hill, who just last night came back from a concussion injury, went through the steps, went through the process, talked over with the director of injuries, head director of the NBA concerning injuries. He came back. So George Hill, another guy, and also how about Sam Young? Sam Young, he was a major contributor coming off the bench last night. He at times came up with big plays for the Indiana Pacers to stay within the game between the New York Knicks. Indiana, like I was saying, referring back to the point of Roy Hibbert. Roy Hibbert has been playing flat out phenomenal throughout the playoffs, and we've seen Roy Hibbert elevate his game. And I think Roy Hibbert can, including Paul George, if let me tell you this, if they can overcome this hurdle against the Miami Heat, they're going to take the next steps of rising their popularity in the league. No doubt, without question. If I had to answer who will win the series, of course the Miami Heat are on everyone's sports books to win. But let's not forget what Indiana can truly do, because you first got to get through the Indiana Pacers before you make it into the NBA Finals.
Yeah, and if I may add a quick point, an X factor for me on the Pacers, a guy I really liked that stepped up, Julian, last night, I have to say Augustine. the guard for the Pacers. I really liked what he contributed to the game last night. He made some key shots down the stretch in that game last night. So he could be a potential X factor for me going into that series against the Heat. But the one thing on defense, as I'll say, if the Pacers are going to shock the basketball world, which that's what it would be to me, and I'm sure to many millions of other people, is it would be a shock to the basketball world. Like I said, if the Pacers were to upset the Heat, and if they're going to do it, I'll say, I like the Heat in six, but if the Pacers are going to win, it's going to take them everything they got, and it'll go to seven if the Pacers are going to win, which I don't see that happening. But that's a thing I will say. But defensively, they got to find a way, somehow, some way, to shut down LeBron James, which, as the one thing I'll close by saying, as far as that goes, good luck. Good luck stopping LeBron James. I mean, I know they held him to 13 points.
Let's not forget.
But he's been on a roll this postseason, James. So, like I said, good luck to the Pacers in trying to stop James, because that boy is a man on a mission right now.
We saw the Indiana Pacers play for each other in the series between the New York Knicks. We saw the Indiana Pacers last year play a tight series matchup between the Miami Heat. But let me tell you, it's going to be once again a tight series. And you made a good point, Sean. If they can somehow stop LeBron James, I think they could be set for the NBA Finals come time
again. I'll just say this real quickly, Julian, going into that series. If you're the Pacers, add on to my point about them stopping LeBron James, who do you put on LeBron James? I mean, if you're Frank Vogel and the Pacers, I would say, do you try putting possibly Roy Hibbert on him to be physical? I mean, I know Roy Hibbert's a center and all that, but I'm just trying to think of like a big physical presence, someone that can really bully LeBron James and be physical with him.
Let's not forget Lance Stephenson. He's been playing big on the perimeter all year round, and he's really, really improved his game. I think Lance Stephenson can really flash out his potential in this series between the Miami Heat.
So I could actually agree with you there. I could say, why not try on defense? But like I said, James, good luck stopping him, because he looks like he's poised to try and repeat. He's on a mission to repeat, and he's focused, and the whole Heat team is focused, but LeBron James has that, as I'll say, has that Kobe Bryant Mamba late season like playoff look in his eyes, and he looks about as focused as ever. And he looks like he's on a mission to repeat. So, but, I mean, hey, if there's any team that I think could beat the Heat right now, it could be the Pacers. I mean, but I can't see it happening, but maybe it'll happen. But if it does, it'll be a shock to me.
Yes, absolutely. But let's move forward with the Western Conference Finals. You have the San Antonio Spurs who beat the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors, by the way, had a great run, had a great season. I could see them back in the West, or I could see them back in the playoffs and going to the Western Conference Finals, but not this year. They had a good run. Spurs beat them. the Memphis Grizzlies, they beat the Oklahoma State Thunder. Kevin Durant, very disappointed, but takes this as motivation. We'll try to come back next year along with that Oklahoma City squad. And once again, repeat as one of the best teams in the Western Conference. But anyways, now you're going to be seeing the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs playing against each other, or actually playing right now as we speak. But the Memphis Grizzlies, to start off, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, they've totally elevated their games. And they were named to the second NBA team, defense team. And Marc Gasol, he was named the Defensive Player of the Year. Those two guys, Mike Conley's played terrific on the perimeter defensively, and Marc Gasol, he's been playing very well defensively in the paint. Mike Conley, you've been seeing him get better offensively since they've been setting higher screens for him, and that has forced the paint to not get clogged up as much as it did in the start of their run in the playoffs. And so things have been looking very well at Memphis ever since Rudy Gay left the Memphis Grizzlies. Things have totally changed, and they've just stayed consistent throughout. And now they're taking on the Spurs. The Spurs, another team that people will, of course, have in their betting hands. The Spurs, for the past 16 years, have been so successful with Coach Greg Popovich. Greg Popovich, he knows how to sort out players' minutes, and he's going to come in with a great strategy. I can guarantee it going into the series between the Memphis Grizzlies. He's going to make sure that Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green are very fast in transition, as Memphis is one of the slowest teams in transition in the NBA. I could tell you that Tim Duncan, he's gonna really have to step it up between probably Marc Gasol is, or just like I said, Marc Gasol was named the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. So Tim Duncan's gonna have to really step up offensively, and Tony Parker, he's gonna have to really be the main man in this series. He's gonna be the facilitator, of course, trying to create shots for others, and Manu Ginobili and such. So I think this is going to be an intriguing series. And if you had to ask me who will win, I think honestly, out of all honesty, I want to put the Memphis Grizzlies up there with some of the elite teams just yet. I would actually say San Antonio. They've been successful so many years now. They've been to this stage before, and I just think San Antonio is going to come away. So, Sean, would you have to agree? San Antonio, will they come away?
Julian, I will disagree with you. I think it's Memphis' time to shine. They're not here for no reason. They didn't eliminate Kevin Durant, a former scoring champion. Yes, I know the Thunder were a wounded team without their star guard, as we know, Russell Westbrook. But still, they still had Kevin Durant, who was a former scoring champion. one of the best players in the league today, in the game, in the NBA today, in Kevin Durant. So I'm going with the Grizzlies in, I will say, a six-game series. I'm going to, just like the East, I'm going to say the series goes six, and I will say Memphis in the upset, because I, the Memphis Grizzlies, like I said, Marcus Gasol and his cast, his supporting cast, Conley, and like you said, I like the point, one of the points you brought up, ever since they let go of Rudy Gay, they've just become a better team, a whole lot better team in my mind. So I will say that I think this is their time to shine, even though, like you said, another point I like that you made about Greg Popovich, one of the best seasoned coaches, seasoned veteran head coaches that you're going to get, best playoff head coach, one of the best playoff head coaches in NBA history, and Coach Popovich. He is one of the greatest playoff coaches, I'll say, in NBA history. He may rank up right up there. He doesn't have as many rings as this man is, Phil Jackson, but he, as far as playoff, overall playoff success, he's had a very successful tenure in the Spurs as a team during his coaching tenure in San Antonio, been a successful team. But this year, next factor for the Spurs, I'll say, is Manu Ginobili. What can he do in this series? But, like I said, I just think it's Memphis' time to shine. I think, you know, Memphis has got what it takes. Even though, like you said, they're a bit slow in transition, but still, they have an X factor for them, in my mind, in this series, has got to be Zach Randolph. If he can put up some decent amount of points, game in and game out in the series, he could be, he's my X factor. If the Grizzlies are going to win, which, like I said, I'm going to go ahead and predict that they're going to win. I like Grizzlies over Spurs in six to advance to play the Miami Heat in the finals.
You know, I would love seeing the Memphis Grizzlies advance, but I just see the San Antonio Spurs taking the Western Conference Finals and advancing on to the NBA Finals. I just see that happening.
I can see it happening. I can see what you're saying happening, Julian. I mean, like I said, Popovich, he's been here, like the point you made. The Spurs have been here, done that before. They've won four, if I'm not mistaken, four championships in Popovich's tenure, I believe. So, like I said, they are a successful team under him, but there's just something about the Memphis Grizzlies. Like I said, I don't think they would get all the way to this point, the conference finals, and go down without a whimper. They're going to bully the Spurs. They're going to – I think they can be physical if they could make it a half-court game and make the Spurs a half-court team, and Conley on Tony Parker, and he's another guy for the Spurs that he needs to step up big and rise to the occasion, to use a better word of it, a better phrase of it, if the Spurs are going to win, which I can see him doing, but we'll have to wait and see. But I'm going with the – I'm being brash, I'm being bold, I'm going with the Grizzlies in the upset.
Mm. Well, it would be nice to see the Memphis Grizzlies rise to the occasion, rise to the elite, and go on to the NBA Finals. It'd be very nice, but I have the Spurs. I have the Spurs in six games, like they played out against Golden State. I have them in six games, and that's all I have to say, as now we are going to move forward to the NHL postseason. The NHL postseason. So the Pittsburgh Penguins, they knocked out the New York Islanders. The Ottawa Senators, they knocked out the Montreal Canadiens. The Rangers, they knocked out the Capitals, who I had going to the Stanley Cup. And the Boston Bruins knocked out Toronto in a seven-game series. So that was the East, but the West, Chicago knocked out Minnesota. Detroit knocked out Anaheim. San Jose knocked out Vancouver. And the LA Kings knocked out St. Louis, who I had as well going to the Stanley Cup. But now as you look at the bracket, the LA Kings and San Jose Sharks are going up against each other currently. Last night, the San Jose Sharks pulled it together as they won their very first game of the series in an overtime thriller, thanks to Logan Couture. He was out for some time in the game, but came back, and he was a major contributor coming back into the game. The series now is at 2-1. LA has it 2-1 right now. So let me ask you, Sean, but the LA Kings, they've had the upper hand in this series so far. Jonathan Quick, he has pulled himself together, but wasn't able to save it last night for the San Jose Sharks. Do you see the LA Kings prevailing? Do you see the LA Kings prevailing in this series and going on to possibly facing the Chicago Blackhawks?
Julian, I will say yes. Yes, I can and I do foresee, and I am going to go ahead and predict that the LA Kings will meet the Chicago Blackhawks in the Western Conference Finals because, as you were just getting to and one of the last points you just said about John Quick, he seems to be getting on that roll again, starting to find some of that postseason magic from last year's postseason, and the Kings are starting to show some signs of life, and they, as you said, they have a 2-1 edge right now, and I think that that series with the Sharks, them and the Sharks, I could see that go in seven games. Even though it's 2-1 LA right now, I can still see it easily going seven games because the Sharks, they're no pushover. They're going to battle hard and right with the Kings. And the Kings, I just think I'm going to say Kings over Sharks in seven. I think it'll go the distance. And like I said, I have them going up to play the Blackhawks, who, by the way, I think they may go seven just to bring up. I know I may be getting a little ahead of myself but I'll just say this. The Blackhawks, after seeing the Red Wings surprise them last night in game two of their series with their rival Detroit, I think Detroit can push the Blackhawks to a game seven possibly.
Yeah, Detroit, Jimmy Howard, he's been stepping up in goal. The veterans, they're working on overcoming whoever Chicago has in goal. Those are two tight series. If I had to refer back to the San Jose Sharks and LA Kings, the San Jose Sharks, they have a bunch of lethal scorers, as I mentioned many times before, like Boyle, Thornton, Chur, Marleau. Those guys can be very challenging for Jonathan Quick, but Jonathan Quick, he just needs to keep on working. He needs to keep on working. I think, like you said, Sean, the series will go the distance, but Jonathan Quick is going to have to keep on working in order for the LA Kings to advance and go on to play Chicago Blackhawks. In my opinion, I think the Chicago Blackhawks can overcome the Detroit Red Wings. The Detroit Red Wings, they're, what can I say? I never viewed the Detroit Red Wings that much high of a team, but the Chicago Blackhawks, I can't throw them out of the picture, as I just foresee Chicago and the Kings going on to the Western Conference Finals.
Julian, if I may add one more point about the Sharks and the Sharks-Kings series, don't forget the Sharks, they have a former goaltender who is a former Stanley Cup winner in Antti Niemi. Antti Niemi, of course, as we know, won the 2010 Stanley Cup back with the Chicago Blackhawks. So keep that in mind, as he could potentially give the Kings fits. But as me and you were saying, I'm still, and like you said, I think it's going to be Chicago, L.A. for a trip to the Cup Finals. And I'll tell you what, Chicago got tested last night by Detroit, and if they advance past Detroit, as were me and you were expecting them to, what a series that'll be should the Kings move on. I'll tell you what, Chicago may have a couple seven-game series to clear should that series with Detroit go, them and Detroit go seven, and they advance, and the Blackhawks and Kings meet up in the Western Conference Finals. If that was to come to fruition, I could see that going seven as well. So the Blackhawks, if they're gonna win in their second Stanley Cup in 3 or 4 years, they're gonna earn it. the remaining teams in the West, they're gonna make them earn it. That's for sure.
Yeah, let me just add on one more point about Antti Niemi, the goaltender for the San Jose Sharks. He needs to be, you know, he needs to be that key guy for the San Jose Sharks in order for them to come back in this series and go on. Antti Niemi, he blew game one, so they're turning the switch now, but they're going to have to keep on repeating to turn it around and go on to the Western Conference Finals. So let's move over to the Eastern Conference. The Pittsburgh Penguins are playing the Ottawa Senators. They will be playing later on tonight. Jason Spezza is reported to be coming back to the Ottawa Senators later on tonight. He could be a huge difference maker, so I have to ask you, Sean, but do you think Jason Spezza could be that difference maker for the Ottawa Senators and pick up the win tonight?
Maybe, possibly, Julian, but as I'll say real quickly, I'll say that I still see Pittsburgh advancing to yet another Eastern Conference Finals. And I just think the Penguins and Sidney Crosby, after seeing what he's done in the first couple games of that series, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that series with Ottawa ends in a sweep right now, being honest. The Penguins, they're, ever since they benched Marc-Andre Fleury in favor of Thomas Vokoun in that, made that switch in Netminders, I think it's benefited Pittsburgh. If you look at it, as Vokoun is clearly the better goaltender for Pittsburgh. So And I wouldn't be surprised if after this year, just add on a quick point about Pittsburgh, and then I'll turn it back over to you. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Penguins potentially got rid of Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, he looks like classic, if I had to compare him with another goalie, he reminds me a lot of Ilya Brizgalo, giving up soft goals right now. I know Brizgalo's not in the playoffs, but I'm just saying. The most recent playoff game I've seen Marc-Andre Fleury start, he doesn't look that good to me. So if the Penguins are going to advance, which, like I said, I think they're going to, it's going to be because they made the right decision and made that switch over to Thomas Vokoun in net.
Well, despite Marc-Andre Fleury, you have to think about how terrific the whole rest of the team has been, including Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby, he's been the man. He's just been the man throughout
And when he's not stepping it up, they still have the other guy, Evgeny Malkin. So, I mean, the Penguins, they're just a deep, talented team. And I just, not to interrupt you, Julian, I'm just saying that I think that they're too much for the Ottawa Senators to handle.
Yeah, although, well, we'll see what happens. They're going to be in Ottawa tonight. They're going to have Spezza back. He could be a difference maker. He may not be a difference maker. Who knows? But the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Pittsburgh Penguins, clearly in my mind, can advance on. They can easily advance on, as we've been just saying. And the game's gonna be taking place later on tonight, and that's pretty much all for the Pittsburgh Penguins and Ottawa Senators. So let's discuss the last series between the Boston Bruins and the New York Rangers. Has been looking good for the New York Rangers lately, as they haven't been getting any scoring production out of Rick Nash or Brad Richards. I mean, we just haven't been seeing that offense come into fruition. Yeah, we've seen Henrik Lundqvist once again step up in the playoffs, but the offense alone just hasn't been stepping up. They've been struggling against Tuukka Rask, who's been just blatant in goal, and it's just been tough on the New York Rangers, as Boston. Guys like Horton, Chara, other guys, they've really done better than the New York Rangers, and I just think the New York Rangers might as well be eliminated if they keep up this scoring drought.
And I'll add on to your point, Julian. Ever since that. In my mind, ever since the Bruins pulled off that amazing, improbable, miracle, whatever type of word you want to use, describing word you want to use, that comeback in Game 7 down 4-1 to the Toronto Maple Leafs in that Game 7 last Monday, they've just, ever since that Patrice Bergeron scored that winner to cap off the comeback and get that 5-4 Game 7 win. The Bruins look like a whole new team. And as you were mentioning, Tuukka Rask is playing well in net. However, I will say that at the start of the second period, their Game 2 with the Rangers is tied 1-1 as we speak right now. So we'll keep an eye on that game as it progresses. And if we have time before we're off the air, we'll get you another score update for our listeners out there that may be Rangers and Bruins fans. But to get back to the point, I think the Bruins, they're going to, as you said, Julian, the Rangers aren't scoring enough. Henrik Lundqvist, he can't do it by himself, despite what a great goaltender he is. So unless their offense steps up, I think the Bruins may end this. I could see this if they win this game two and go up 2-0. I could see this series, even though it's going to shift to Madison Square Garden for the next couple games, I could foresee this series ending in five games, in no more than five games. So we'll keep an eye on it as it goes along. But like I said, the Bruins are hot right now after that comeback in Game 7 over Toronto. So I think they're going to be the team that meets Pittsburgh. And what an Eastern Conference Finals that will be if that comes to fruition.
Yeah, most definitely. The number to the show is 646-716-5733. Just to add on real quick, but yeah, I see the Bruins advancing. I would love to see an intriguing matchup between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Boston Bruins, alone two of the best teams in the NHL Eastern Conference. And like I said, if the scoring drought continues, and if Henrik Lundqvist is going to find himself alone in these critical situations, then the New York Rangers just may as well find themselves eliminated. Now let's get to the Preakness Stakes that happened yesterday. Oxbow came up, went on to win the Preakness in the 138th Preakness Stakes ever. Oxbow, his jockey Gary Stevens, won his third Preakness. Experience really tells you something. As Gary Stevens, he's been one of those jockeys who've been around forever, and really capitalized on the moment yesterday. Trainer Wayne Lucas as well, another guy who's been around forever and of course can be accredited for Oxbow's victory. He plus the horse had 15-1 odds going into the race. So Oxbow and the whole rest of the crew did pretty well overall. In my opinion, Orb didn't win it though. Orb, who won the Kentucky Derby, just didn't come away with the victory this time. He actually finished fourth. He finished fourth along with my Loot, who landed in third. My Loot, don't forget. My Loot was under a female jockey this year, Rosie Napavrik, if I'm not mistaken. Yet, Rosie Napavrik. It's of course I think very very good for the sport to see a female compete and finish third. Wasn't enough though, and wasn't enough for Orb as Oxbow won the race. So, quick thoughts, Sean, on Oxbow winning the Preakness from yesterday.
My quick thoughts on the Preakness yesterday, and Oxbow, as you said, the point you made about Gary Stevens, been here, done that. He's one of the winningest jockeys when it comes to Triple Crown races, the three Triple Crown races, the Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and Belmont Stakes, which are held every year. Gary Stevens is right up there as the winningest jockey in those three races. And what could you say? Congratulations to him. But I have to add on this point, I was disappointed as I I don't know about you, Julian, but I kind of felt and I kind of expected Orb to win that race. I mean, after the victory he pulled off in the Kentucky Derby, winning in that sloppy, muddy, nasty track out in Kentucky in the first leg of the Triple Crown, I thought Orb was going to win yesterday, but kudos to Gary Stevens, as you said, and Wayne Lucas. They had a great horse yesterday in Oxbow, and I just my last thought on the Triple Crown this year, which, as we know, is not going to happen now with Oxbow's win. I'm wondering, and this is a good poll question for our listeners out there: are we ever going to see another Triple Crown winner? Because as we know, this is now 35 straight years, 35 consecutive years that we've gone without a Triple Crown winner in the three big horse races, as I mentioned, Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and Belmont. The last horse to pull the trick, Affirmed, in 78. So, good poll question to put up, Julian. I know we're running short on time, but if you had to say, do you think we will ever see a Triple Crown winner in the near future?
Well, I actually, to be honest, had Golden Sense winning the race yesterday and winning the Kentucky Derby. I thought Golden Sense was a horse to keep an eye on, but as it looks now, he doesn't look like the favorites to ever win the Triple Crown. I don't know how to answer that question, really. There's not that many up and coming horses who have the potential of winning the Triple Crown. I mean, I just don't know.
If I'm not mistaken, Julian, Golden Sense, since you were bringing him up, isn't he the horse that Rick Pitino owns?
Yep, 5%. 5%, yeah.
I will add this point in to bring it up. I was disappointed in the first two, just to refer back to the Kentucky Derby, that in his showing, as I can agree with you, I kind of thought, you know, Rick Pitino coming off that great national championship season with Kentucky, I kind of thought his horse may have done a little better. So, yeah, that was, along with Orb not winning, that's another disappointment for me in the first two Triple Crown races.
Yeah, but I thought Golden Sense could have won because his trainer was actually the trainer of I'll Have Another, who almost came away with the Triple Crown last year, but hey, you're not gonna see a horse like I'll Have Another for a while, as he's no longer.
Or a horse like Smarty Jones, a horse from this area, just to say.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But as of right now, I really can't give a definitive answer on that. Time will tell. It's been 35 years. And since it's 1978, as you said, Sean. But let's get going with Andrew Wiggins to Kansas. One of our previous editions of Debate Wednesday, I did mention that Andrew Wiggins to Kansas would be an ideal fit. And that's just where he landed to the hands of Bill Self. Bill Self is now going to be without some players like Relford with the Macklemore, but now he's going to have Andrew Wiggins and a couple other top recruits coming in as Kansas on paper looks pretty good going into next season, along with the top recruit coming out of high school, Andrew Wiggins. People are drawing comparisons to LeBron James. Won't really draw comparisons just yet to LeBron James, but hey, very good pickup. I mentioned also, out of all the schools, Kansas was the only official visit Andrew Wiggins made. That was a significant fact, as Andrew Wiggins is now a Jayhawk. So if I had to ask you, Sean, but what can you foresee out of Andrew Wiggins in a Jayhawk uniform next year?
Time will tell, Julian. I'll start off by saying that, but I'll say this real quickly about Andrew Wiggins. I was disappointed somewhat that he didn't choose to go to North Carolina, but to get back to your point, I could foresee a fit since the point you made about Kansas being the only school he visited. So I could foresee, you know, with him getting to know Coach Self and all that, I could foresee a fit there with Kansas. And from what I hear, I have yet to see highlights of this kid, Andrew Wiggins, play. But as you were saying, he's getting comparisons to LeBron James, and I'll agree with you. I think it's a little too early to speculate on that. But I will say this. From what I hear, he's potentially a number one pick in a upcoming NBA draft. So I think, as long as the kid stays healthy, I think the sky's the limit for him. And, you know, I think he's going to have and make Kansas that much better of a basketball team. And
hey, Sean, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to hold you up there for a sec. I think, truly, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter these days whether a player, a top recruit coming out of high school gets injured. I think it doesn't matter because you look at some of the previous projected top picks in the NBA draft, like Kyrie Irving, and now Nerlens Noel. I think it just doesn't matter these days to scouts, to GMs, and we've seen how things have changed. How players quickly jump to the NBA, and Andrew Wiggins' case, I think you gotta prove yourself first. But, you know, look at Austin Rivers as a prime example. He didn't really prove much of himself over at Duke, and he didn't really have that much of a decent season over in New Orleans. Andrew Wiggins, I feel it won't matter if he gets injured, because you look at the history.
Yeah, I can agree with your point, Julian. So, but we'll see. I mean, but he's, you know, I think he's going to have a stellar career because he's in a great program at Kansas. Coach Self and Kansas, we all know what they're capable of and what he's capable of. And under Coach Self, I think Kansas is a definite national title contender, as long as Andrew Wiggins, for as long as Andrew Wiggins stays at Kansas, I see Kansas being a definite national title contender, whether he stays there for 2, 3, 4 years, who knows, but they'll be one of the top teams in the nation, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I totally think so, too. You're going to see some good things out of Duke, Maryland, possibly Kentucky. I mean, it's going to be an intriguing upcoming season, as you're going to see many recruits come to college and try to prove themselves. I think honestly, a lot of underclass jumped aboard to the NBA this year. I think that's what happened. Many just many underclassmen just jump ship, and now we're gonna see many recruits coming in from high school. But I look forward to Andrew Wiggins. To end it off with this, I look forward to seeing Andrew Wiggins next year with Kansas. I thought once again it was an ideal fit for him, and he is now going to be, along with Coach Bill Self. We are now in overtime, so the number to the show is 646-716-5733 if you want to listen in on overtime. In case you're wondering what the situation is here, the show runs for an extension of 15 minutes. After the show goes off, so we are now considerably in overtime. So let's get on to David Beckham. David Beckham, who recently announced his retirement and recently sent his farewell the other day out on the soccer field. David Beckham, he's played for pretty much two decades now, and he played in so many places like Manchester United, Real Madrid, the LA Galaxy, and PSG. Yeah, in all them stints, he won a championship. He won a championship, and David Beckham truly was just outstanding, and he's gonna go down as one of the most outstanding Englishmen to ever play the game of soccer. David Beckham, at 38 years old, 20 years playing soccer, has done it all. And his most gratifying moment, he said, was being the captain of England back in the World Cup. But David Beckham, he did everything, and he lasted a nice career. Where I must say he put on one heck of a long career, and is now going to look forward to future things ahead. So if I could ask you, Sean, but tell me what you think of the career of David Beckham. The wonderful career David Beckham has had.
I'll summarize the career in my mind of David Beckham in one statement, Julian, in one simple sentence. And that sentence is, I'm willing to go as far as to say this. I think David Beckham is the Michael Jordan of soccer. I mean, he is, like you said, he's won multiple championships with multiple soccer clubs, so I mean, what more needs to be said about the guy? He should be enshrined into the Soccer Hall of Fame. I don't know if there is such a thing, but if there was, he should be in it, because he is and has been, for as long as he's been playing this sport of soccer, been the greatest soccer player, at least in my mind, one of them that there ever was. I mean, I didn't get to watch David Beckham live. I would have liked to have seen him more with the LA Galaxy, but the clips and highlights that I have seen of him, I mean, what more needs to be said? I mean, he has been an unbelievable soccer player, and I wish him the best of luck in his retirement. And I'm sad to see him leave the sport of soccer, because like I said, I feel soccer is losing a legend with his retirement, but with him being 38, it's his time. Go out on your terms, David. You won most recently, as you were saying, he won championships with the Galaxy in more recent years. So I think it's time for him, and it's the right decision at this time. So I wish you the best of luck, David, and you'll be missed in the sport of soccer for sure.
Most definitely. Some fans were even hanging up posters. They were even hanging up posters when it came time to David Beckham's farewell. Most people were hanging up posters that said, stick around for one more year, David. But like you said, Sean, the time is right, and the time has been splendid with David Beckham ending off his career in a wonderful way. So we are going to get down to our final topic of today, which is the Sacramento Kings and the Charlotte Bobcats. Let's first talk about the Sacramento Kings. But the Sacramento Kings, or I must say the Maloofs, the former management group of the Sacramento Kings sold the team to a Sacramento-based management group, and this totally relieves many people out in Sacramento. This has been ongoing for many months. People were wondering, are the Sacramento Kings going to Seattle? Or are they staying in Sacramento? The Kings are going to now stay in Sacramento. And let me bring up this poll question here. Poll question of the week, by the way. You can find our poll questions on our Twitter page at sports_kingdom. But let me read out the poll question here. Hang on. All right, hang on a little bit more. All right. Sean, are you happy that the Kings are staying in Sacramento?
If I had to say, Julian, I'd say yes and no. I mean, yes, I'm happy for one reason. I'd like, if you want to still call it a rivalry. I mean, I know the Kings have been struggling in recent years, and they've had multiple head coaching changes over recent seasons. But I like the rivalry that they have with the Lakers and if you want to even include the Clippers in there, both Los Angeles teams, since it's so close to, like, Hollywood and all that out there in Southern California. So I'm happy for that reason that the Kings are staying around. It'll be nice to continue to have them as a rival. But I'm also sad because I know how much fans wanted a team in Seattle. And I think in the future, I think the NBA should look to, if there is a way, to bring back basketball in Seattle because of the successful tenure that they had when the Thunder, the Oklahoma City Thunder, were formerly the Seattle Sonics. And back in George Karl's early days, Seattle had a very successful team. So I think that they should in the future, the NBA should look into bringing basketball back to Seattle. But I'll close off by saying this. I am happy with the Kings staying where they are in Sacramento.
I'm pretty happy too, but if I was a Kings fan right now, I would be urging management to totally turn around the team, because the team has been terrible for multiple years now. It's been multiple years now where we've seen them play dreadful basketball. played dreadful basketball, and they haven't been able to get the job done in the drafts, and they haven't been able to find any key players ever since Mike Bibby and Chris Webber left. I mean, everything's just been a disaster in Sacramento. They're still in that old arena. Hopefully they can get going with an arena deal sometime soon, but as all things stand, I think they need to turn it around, even though I'm happy that they're staying in Sacramento.
Yeah, I'll just add on one more point to that point you just made, Julian. I'd like to see them get back to the early 2000s if they can in the future. I think I'd like to see the Kings get back to where they were, so maybe we could have maybe 5 years down the line, just to throw it out there, maybe have a Kings-Lakers Western Conference Finals matchup like we had in the early 2000s when you had like guys like Chris Webber and Vlade Divac in their prime at the tail ends of their careers, leading the Kings into those budding rivalry playoff matchups with the Lakers, like I was saying. So I'd like to see that, and I'm hoping that, as you were saying, management can turn it around and bring that back to Sacramento.
Yeah, most definitely. I can't really waste any more time, so we were just going to finally end it off by talking about the Charlotte Bobcats. The Charlotte Bobcats, believe it or not, are going to be – or I'm sorry, the city of Charlotte is now going to be getting their wishes. They're now going to be getting their wishes as the Charlotte Bobcats are going to be switched back to the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets, that's right. The New Orleans Hornets were taken over by Tom Benson, the owner of the New Orleans Saints and now owner of the New Orleans Hornets. They're now going to be known as the New Orleans Pelicans going into next season. And with that news, Charlotte Bobcats sat down and agreed that they would like to change the name back to the Charlotte Hornets, since, as we all know about the Hornets Nest, the Hornets Nest in Charlotte, that's been very, very popular in the city of Charlotte for so many years now. People have been just urging for the name to be switched back to the Charlotte Hornets, which will hopefully help attendance. So let me ask you with the final question of today, Sean, but what do you think of the Charlotte Bobcats being switched back to the Charlotte Hornets?
I'll close off by saying this real quickly, Julian. I like the move. I think you're going to see attendance increase as you look back on it. The Hornets, when Charlotte basketball franchise, when they were known as the Hornets, I think attendance was a lot better than it was with the Bobcats when they were known as the Bobcats. So I like the move, and I look for attendance a spike, and I look for attendance to go up in Charlotte in the upcoming NBA, the next two or three NBA seasons. I think attendance is going to go up, and I think maybe the Hornets will be a better basketball team and they'll benefit from it. So I like the move.
Same as well. By the way, that move will happen by, they're saying, the start of 2014. So they will not be switched back to the Charlotte Hornets next year, but they will be switched back to the Charlotte Hornets by the start of 2014. Now I want to thank all of our listeners for joining today. You can re-listen to this episode on iTunes and Stitcher. We will not have a show this upcoming weekend since it's Memorial Day weekend. So I want all of our listeners to enjoy the new beginning of the summer, and I hope y'all enjoy the rest of this weekend. Peace out.